One of the great promises of the rollout of the national broadband network into rural and remote Australia is the use of bandwidth for virtual consultation without having to do the road miles. And a new project actually proves how it could work in practice, in this case starting with teledentistry. Ken Clark is from the Melbourne Networked Society Institute, one of the partners in this oral examination over the internet. And Ken, what have you been trialling at three different regional sites?
Yes, hi Michael. We've been trying out a couple of programs on teledentistry. The first one was actually paediatric dentistry, obviously young children, and at the other end of the scale, with elderly people in residential aged care homes.
So the technology, what are you doing in the mouth so that someone else can see what's happening in there?
Yes, so what we have is a device called an intraoral camera. It looks rather like an electric toothbrush, but it has a camera chip on the end as well as some LEDs to do some illumination.
Right.
And that's used in the mouth to take some video footage to relay to a central dentist.
And that dentist is how far away in the trials?
Well, that can be as long as you like, really. In our particular trial, it was in Victoria, so it was regional towns, Geelong, Shepparton, Rosebud, coming back to a central dentist in the city centre at the Oral Health CRC.
So this model has been obviously trialled in that kind of scope and distance, but I imagine you can then escalate that up, scale it up if you like, and as long as there's enough broadband speed to get the definition high enough on your screen, you can do this in rural and remote parts of the country too, can't you?
That's exactly right, because the bandwidth required is around about 3 to 5 megabits per second. But the key thing to note there is that that's what they call upstream bandwidth, and typically a lot of service providers talk about having, you know, 10, 25, 50 megabits per second, but what they're talking about is download capacity. It's actually coming from the provider to you,
right?
Whereas in this instance, it's actually the people at the far end who are providing the content, you might say, so it sort of reverses the normal model. So you have to be quite aware of what bandwidths are actually available.
Oh, Ken, now you're worrying me. Now you've got alarm bells ringing, because in remote parts of the country, even with satellite NBN, are they going to get the upload speed to make this workable?
Well, that's the good thing about the new NBN service, that it will be capable of supporting these 3 to 5 megabits per second services going the other way. The only issue with satellite, though, is the thing they call latency, which is basically the delay or the time that it takes for the signal to travel from the customer's premises up to the satellite and then back down to the clinician, for example. So this can provide a bit of delay, and it's a bit, you know, if it's taken to its extreme, it really is a rather like talking to the moon, so people almost feel like they have to say over at the end of every sentence. But the delay is not quite at that range, but it can interfere with some communications.
Now, in the three trials you've conducted in Victoria, back to a central hub in the city, does the person who's holding that camera in the mouth with the lights attached have to be qualified?
No, that's the good thing. My colleague Rodrigo Marinho, who was leading this project, found that only a few hours of training were required for the staff at the residential aged care home. So within an afternoon, or certainly within a day, they had enough training just to guide the camera around the mouth and be aware of the occupational health and safety concerns.
So, because you want someone who's at least feeling comfortable with poking into someone else's mouth with a piece of gear, and I mean that can be a little off-putting for the patient as well, I imagine.
Yeah, that's the key point, is that the patient really has to feel confident and comfortable. But the nurses that we used were already familiar to the residents in the aged care home, so that was actually not quite so much of an issue.
And with young children, how did that go?
Yeah, but that was a good one. That was more at the emergency end of the scale, where they were trying to triage the children who may have been involved in a, you know, sporting incident, for example, who may have had some blood in the mouth and they weren't quite sure of the injury. And of course, normally they may have to travel all the way from Geelong or Shepparton into the city centre, only to be told, oh, you know, it's just a small injury, no problem, nothing needs to be done. But it had taken them several hours and a lot of pain and anguish to cover that distance. Whereas with having the cameras at those regional centres means that you can do the triaging, and around about half of the people that attended were able just to stay in the regional towns and could be treated locally without having to come into the Melbourne Dental School or the Royal Children's Hospital, for example.
And that's the key, isn't it, Ken? Because people might be thinking, wait a minute, you've got someone unqualified who's had a few hours' experience with a drill? No, there's no drill involved here. It's simply a light and a camera giving the specialist at the other end some insight at high definition and enough speed to say, we don't need to see you for 6 months or maybe a year or come in immediately.
That's exactly right. It's all about gathering information. It's not the procedure itself. It's just purely an information gathering exercise. And certainly the other side of the coin is people who are children who have cleft lip and palate. They need to see a specialist on a regular basis, and it can involve a drive from somewhere like Mildura. You know, it takes a day to get down to Melbourne, maybe an overnight stay. And then the specialist sees them in the morning for 1 minute, says, oh, you don't need the operation for another 6 months or a year. Come back then.
So that'll be $1,000. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so the people benefit, the system benefits. It just makes much more sense all round.
Can we get this kind of technology in some kind of mobile form so that someone who's qualified to administer the equipment is constantly with it as it goes across the landscape? I'm thinking about Indigenous communities.
Well, the setup itself is actually very basic. All you require is a reasonable a laptop, a webcam, so you can actually see a facial vision of the dentist and the patient at the other end, as well as the camera. And the camera itself has a USB connection, so it can plug into any computer that you have. And they can cost somewhere around about $5,000, but they are available for a few hundred dollars as well. And it just means that the resolution's maybe not quite so good, and the lighting capability, etc., is maybe a bit less. But, you know, the technology itself is readily available and easily accessible.
And I take it also that this kind of procedure, we've talked about inside the mouth, but it'd be just as great for looking at the surface of the skin as well, wouldn't it?
That's right. You can imagine someone could check melanomas from a remote site as well. We've even had another project in past times looking at chemotherapists actually wanting to look at the colour of the skin, because the treatments there can cause discolorations in the skin, and they've got to have absolute colour fidelity to make sure that, you know, what they've done is correct. Otherwise, these people have to be whisked back into hospital at very short notice if things are going wrong. So again, broadband can, you know, deal with the colour fidelity as well as the actual resolution.
Ken, what's your best guess as to when we can see this application in real time at a real coalface occurring across the country?
Well, we're just in the midst of applying for more funding now, because the technology itself is there. We've proven that it works. We've had the efficacy studies that compared the technology with the standard face-to-face consultation and found essentially no difference between the two. So it's ready to roll whenever the money is available, and it's the age-old question of, you know, trying to get hold of the money to do the work required.
Okay, and in terms of the medical fraternity or the dental fraternity being ready to provide the skills and the training and, you know, the application of advice at the sharp end, are they on side?
Oh, very much so, because they can see the benefits as well. From the efficiency point of view, you can imagine that if you've already triaged the people at a residential aged care home, for example, and then the mobile dental truck rolls up to provide the treatment, they'll already know ahead of time what exactly they have to bring with them, how many people they're going to see, exactly what treatments to provide. So it makes sense from the dentist's point of view as well, that he's not wasting his time when he actually arrives on site.
No, well, look, all I can say is hallelujah and bring it on, because there is dire need, as we all know, because we don't have under Medicare any kind of publicly accessible complex service of dental support. At least this kind of technology can lend a helping hand often where it's most needed.
That's absolutely right, Michael.
Good on you, Ken. Thanks for joining us today.
Not a problem. Bye.
Ken Clark, who's from the Melbourne Network Society Institute, one of the project managers in what has been a joint partner project looking at how tele-dentistry can use broadband at the kind of speeds being planned and proposed for in rural and regional Australia with the rollout of the NBN, whether it be via to the node or via satellite, it's going to be fast enough to do exactly what we've just been discussing. And that all augurs very well indeed.